New York was the 32nd state in the country to require professional geologists be licensed, and now the state legislature has approved a measure that would require geologists obtain continuing education in order to practice here. To discuss this issue, we're turning to the New York State Council of Professional Geologists, which pushed for this modernization of state law. And we're joined by the group's legislative chair, Jim Janora, a licensed professional geologist and proud graduate of my alma mater, SUNY Geneseo. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Dave.
And we also have on the line the group's legislative counselor, Peter O'Connell. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Jim, for starters, why should I care about the laws regulating geologists? How does it impact my life as a non-geologist, you know, barely able to explain the difference between sedimentary and igneous rocks?
Well, you know, geologists don't just go around, breaking rocks and trying to figure out what the fossils are inside of them. More practically speaking, we're really out to help protect the health and welfare of the public. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of geologists practice in the field of groundwater, and maybe more specifically groundwater contamination. And so, you know, there's no shortage of contaminated sites here in New York. We've got quite a history of industrial development, and there's a lot of legacy in the ground still, and it finds its way into the groundwater. And, you know, we all drink water, and it emanates from the ground. And so we need to protect our resources and understand what's out there for the contaminants, and so that we can either clean them up or somehow otherwise organize or manage them. And then other geologists practice in engineering. So that's actually where my background is, geotechnical engineering and geology. So what we do is we build things. We build buildings and we build roads, infrastructure, pipelines, you name it. Everything that gets built in the earth has to cross the desk of a geologist. So, we're often involved early on in the planning phases for those engineering projects.
Well, you mentioned the waterway issue, and that makes me think about the list of emerging contaminants that the state is now testing for when it comes to PFOA and 1,4-dioxane. Does that mean that we should be thinking about geologists as playing a role in that process?
Absolutely. So the geologists, as I said, related to engineering, geologists are often some of the first people in to try and understand contaminant plumes and, perfluoroalkyl substances are, that on that list of emerging contaminants. And, the point there is that we don't yet know how the PFAS are affecting people in the environment, how they get transported. The fact is they're everywhere. They're waterproofing agents, so they tend to move with the water instead of either, somehow decaying or otherwise evaporating off. Geologists are the first people in. We go out and we do the planning. We try to understand the site. We drill holes in the ground and put in monitoring wells, and then we take samples of water from those monitoring wells, and we send them to a laboratory. And then there's geochemical type geologists who then look at the constituents that are in the water, and they start to develop an understanding of what's out there, and then they start to develop a plan for how you would address those contaminants.
So moving forward, if this legislation is signed into law and it requires some sort of continuing education, what shape is that going to take?
We do have a bit of an established system in place. And right now, ordinarily, we have, for example, here in Buffalo, we have a regional organization that is a member of the New York State Council. And we have a monthly meeting. Well, this is all understandably pre-pandemic, right? We would get together once a month for dinner or lunch, and we would have an hour-long session where there was some professional, be it from University of Buffalo or some other local university or a practicing professional who has a case study, for example. So that person would present for an hour while the rest of the group, has lunch and or dinner. And then, there's time for Q&A. And that's basically the framework that it's been up until this point. And I think that moving forward, it would look a lot like that. Only there would be more encouragement among all geologists to attend these meetings because they would, it's state of the practice. You're really keeping up to date on what's new and what's going on in our science.
You've also touched on one of the more important aspects of the bill. The education department, the State Board of Engineering, Land Surveying and Geology, insisted that we amend existing laws applying to PEs and land surveyors to provide more flexibility in providing continuing ed. the bill's current laws were written some 20 years ago. In fact, I wrote the one for land surveyors, and that was at least 20 years ago. But things such as online learning have come into play, and the existing laws don't cover a lot of the up-to-date methods of providing continuing ed. And the bill does that for not only geologists, but for professional engineers and land surveyors.
So, Jim, how do geologists feel about this measure? I mean, it passed nearly unanimously in Albany, but what about the people in the profession? Do they see this as something that's meaningful, or do they see this as a pointless burden?
No. Yeah, it is very meaningful, and I think all membership understands the importance of staying up to date as our science evolves, really.
What are some of the ways that the science has evolved that you think are important to be covered in these sort of continuing education requirements?
One of the biggest topics that I see right now, and it is a very big topic, and that is climate change. It's not like we get together and talk about ways that we're going to solve climate change, how we're going to fix the earth, right? No, it's very much more fundamental. I'll give you the example. We have here in Buffalo, UB has a really strong group of glaciologists on their staff, and they study in Greenland and Iceland and Antarctica. And we have had several talks from them just describing their ongoing research and, you know, looking at subglacial lakes and other things that are really interesting from a scientific perspective, right? Like, we all just like ooh and ah the whole time that they're talking. And then oftentimes, like midway through their conversations or through their presentations, it starts to occur to you that, boy, what they're really talking about here is climate change, and they're really explaining that this is like grassroots research that's happening. This is fundamental, building the science for the future, right? Like, we stand on the shoulders of the giants that came before us, and that's what these climate change experts and glaciologists are pursuing.
And finally, Jim, this is kind of a little off the beaten path because I'm a bit of a film buff, but do you have any favorite sort of portrayals of geologists in movies? I think Dante's Peak has the highest number of geologists in it with like 7 or 8. But when you watch movies, you ever keep an eye out for geologists?
I guess I really don't.
It's disappointing.
But I would say, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Dave. No, so they pop up. They happen from time to time, but they tend to be very poor representations. Every movie that I've seen, like, you know, The Rock is trying to, you know, hold an earthquake together or a fault line together. So they're kind of cheesy in that regard.
You're saying San Andreas is not an accurate portrayal of the profession?
I'll hold my opinion on that.
Okay.
But what I will tell you, Dave, that when I go around to local schools and, you know, attend like career days, for example, oftentimes it's middle-aged or middle school children. And I always start with a slide from Ice Age. The movies that came from those producers are so incredibly representative of geology. You know, there's dinosaurs, there's glaciers, there's all these little neat features and cinematography that, or I don't even know, animation, I guess, that is embedded in the movie that you just know. I just know that there must be a team of 25 geologists back there making all these animations, and it's just heartwarming.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Janora, a licensed professional geologist and the inspiration for The Rock's character in San Andreas, and Peter O'Connell, the legislative counsel for the Council of Professional Geologists in New York. Thank you both so much for making the time.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.